Welcome to episode 71 of Sound Out Wave, the first podcast to reach planet Earth from Cybertron. I'm Nell, and I'm great at Transformers.
And I'm Greg, and I'm getting better at Transformers.
And this week, we discuss Lost Light, Issue 5. Hey, it finally showed up. We were missing a sun for a while. We didn't know where our sweet boy Lost Light was.
That light was lost. I didn't know what to do about it.
He made good on his name, disappeared for a while, but look, here we are, Lost Light issue 5. It took a minute. We were expecting this book maybe as early as 2 weeks ago, but that's okay. It's here now.
I can't believe the years that it took for this book to reach
us. It was just this one.
This one book. We already have Lost Light 6 through 12.
Mm-hmm. And like five. Memorized, we were waiting. And yeah, it was just 5.
We were really able to compile all the information from this book out of those books. I'll bet there's people who aren't aware that we're doing a bit right now, and they're like, "Wait a minute, there's." I apologize. No, yeah,
we're Lost Light 5. Goofs. Yeah, here it is. We got
here it. Here it is. We got it. And there's some super cool looking robots on the cover that are not very nice.
Nope, we got some mean, mean boys here on the front. We have the council members, the Functionist Council here on the front. We got old Matrix Face leading the fray here.
His little hat.
He's got his little hat on, his little ski cap. As we hop in here, because it has been a minute, because again, this book was later than it was supposed to be, so it's been a little while since we've discussed Lost Light. So where we left off, they got to Punk Rung, so we have Alt Rung, and one of the teams got to him. It was like Rodimus and Drift, Chrome Dome and Rewind. They went and they retrieved Rung, and of course, it was proven, yes, behold, the tank thing. All of that was a ruse. That's not real.
Clever deception.
Mm-hmm. Go figure. And the council had been able to drill to get to Vector Sigma. That was their goal.
Right.
The 11 council members, because of course they don't have, 9 of 12 is working with the refugees.
He's gone rogue.
He has, and we love him for it. But so the other 11 were there getting to Vector Sigma, just as our crew showed up. And that was kind of where we left off with them, was Rodimus picking a fight with 4 of 12? Is that Matrix Face? 6 of 12?
Probably. I think it might be 6.
I think it's 6. We'll find out in a moment. But yeah, picking, kind of like starting a fight with them. And that's where we left off with them. We have the refugees. Megatron is trying to kind of lead an attack slash
evacuation.
An evacuation, yes, of this, of this, the safe city where everybody was living. And yeah, so everything's kind of coming to a head right now. Because of course, we we'll remember this first arc for Lost Light is only 6 issues long. So should all be wrapping up next time, or at least a lot of this.
And
this
that's really story. Only the things that are happening in the Functionist universe.
Right.
There's a lot of plot lines happening on Necroworld as well.
Yes.
We can go over those real quick. We have Tailgate and Cyclonus and Whirl, and there's some stuff happening there that's all very heavy and dramatic.
Yes.
We'll get to that surely. Anode and Lug had a very heavy talk as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also Brainstorm, and who's helping out Brainstorm?
I think Brainstorm was kind of on his own.
Well, yeah, Brainstorm was just trying to get everybody back.
Right. Yeah, Brainstorm's just Nightbeat trying to figure stuff out.
And also, lest we forget, Skids died.
Skids died. He sure did. He sure did. Still hate saying that. Still tastes like poison in my mouth. And then also, Swerf and Tin were magicked away by Killmaster's wand.
There are a lot of plates.
There's so much. Again, just imagine James on stage running around, spinning all of them to our just delight and wonderment. And so that should bring us to now. Anything we missed, we'll get to it
when it comes up
in this issue. And we start out on Necroworld. And we have Nightbeat and Rung.
Yeah, and Rung is saying, like, what am I doing here? What's the matter, Nightbeat? What can I help you with?
Yeah, what do you need me for?
Nightbeat is not having that. He's like, listen, buddy, you've helped all of us so much. which, and you're not someone who asks for help. So true. Let me give you some help. What's going on in that cute, bespectacled noggin of yours?
It's all very sweet. What a very sweet, good opener to this. Because, like, Nightbeat tricks Rung into thinking, oh, someone needs my help. I'm not really practicing psychiatry anymore, but if he needs me, I will help him out. And Nightbeat's like, no, 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 trick. I'm here to help you out. And it's
mind
cute.
Mind freaks.
You just got mind freaked. I do love it because Nightbeat even like lays down on a makeshift couch and is like, okay, now you tell me what's up.
And I do remember asking, like, are we going to get some resolution with Rung and Skids? And yeah.
We certainly will. And for what it's worth, that kind of questioning, because it's come up a lot with friends as this entire series, you know, with More Than Meets the Eye to now has gone. There's all those plates spinning so much. There are so many plates spinning. There are so many threads going that there are times when it will feel like a plot line has been forgotten or dropped. And it's always, I'm always that person who's like, no, he'll come back to it. He didn't forget. He'll come back to it. So yeah.
There are only 22 pages in an issue. 20, so, I think it is.
Right. So eventually, it might take years, but eventually things will, will get tied up. But yeah, so we're finally going to get a little more insight on Rung and Skids here. But first...
Later. Yeah. Let's go to the Functionist universe where Rodimus is getting blasted by a guy with a laser in his face.
Yeah. Matrix Face is magicking Rodimus in the air and like... It's got like electricity. And he's saying, yeah, I'm hurting him a whole bunch. Cause Drift is like, you better not be hurting my boyfriend.
And he's like, yeah, I'm super hurting him. I'm hurting the heck out of him, buddy.
What are you going to do about it?
Look at him. He's super hurt.
He's in a lot of pain. And it's interesting cause Rodimus, says right away, he says, that's not the Matrix. That thing you have on your face, that's not real. Because the Matrix can't do this. What you are doing to me, hurting me, using this as a weapon, that's not what the Matrix is about. And 6 of 12 is like, it is what I say it is. Back off.
Buddy.
I'm the one holding it.
Maybe not a weapon for you, loser.
Yeah, maybe you just didn't put it on the right setting, dummy.
Look, there's a little knob right here. Shoot lasers.
Oh, man, you missed it this whole time, Rod. I guess he only had it for a little while.
That makes sense. He's only got half of one now.
Well, he only has half of the crystal, and even that, he doesn't even have that anymore. Rodimus, you can't be trusted with anything.
Oh, jeez.
This guy...
We go back to Rung and Nightbeat here. So we're going to get some chop sake kind of back and forth between these. And Rung makes a point saying, like, Nightbeat, when we were all going to die, you said I was disposable. And Nightbeat was like, oh, come on. That was a joke. And he's like, no, I feel disposable. Like,
Right. Because Nightbeat had told him that Nightbeat had promised Minimus that he would only take somebody that Minimus could do without. And that is why he told Rung, which of course he kept being like, oh, it's a joke. And then Rung's like, no, it's not, is it? And he's like, no, it's not. because Nightbeat. Even if it was a joke, Rung feels some truth there. Rung feels like he isn't as useful as everyone else, and there's other things he could be doing.
Right. Now that he doesn't have patience, he doesn't know. He is adrift. He is aimless.
Right. Like, at least when he was practicing psychiatry, he felt like he was providing a service for everybody. He felt like he was useful and worth having around. And now he doesn't have that. And it's kind of weighing heavily on him.
And so we go back to Rod just getting totally electrocuted.
Just toasted here.
And Ratchet's shouting, hey, you put down my boyfriend's boyfriend or I'm going to shoot this guy. And he's holding Alt-Rung. And he's good old laser face is saying, like, why you wouldn't do that because you came here to rescue him.
Right.
And he's like, well, I mean, that was before you already used him for your thing. Now nobody can benefit. And also you're killing our leader. So try me, buddy.
Yeah, if you don't, I'll do it. Watch me. See what happens. But Matrix Face is like, all right, he lets Roddy down.
What do I care?
Go ahead.
Like, yeah, fine, go,
we'll just
run.
Just follow you.
Yeah, I'm like, going to
nice
kill you
try.
Anyway. Trust
we,
me, we got everything
here.
We need.
We got this. Go ahead and run. And so they do. I can never remember any of these names. But this little group, this little renegade group they've got, yeah. little moon phase here.
The Anti-Vacationist League?
Was that's the one, the AVL. Yes. Gosh, what is his name? Cutie.
Mac Tonight.
Mac Tonight is here.
Spindly. He has a name. He has some kind of name.
Clicker.
Clicker. That's it.
Everybody's like, oh, I'm so glad I listened to this show where people forget what books they're reading. but no. Clicker is like, okay, great. We are going to jump to the surface. Where this is going to get destroyed. It'll buy us some time, essentially. He's buying them time right. between them jumping.
Let's get the heck out of here.
Yeah. And Rung is like, first,
hey, I got some things to say.
And it's good. It's so good. Because, yeah, Alt Rung is like, okay, listen. Now we know about me that, like, Rung doesn't have
have an alt mode that I'm not useless.
Yeah,
but guess who is useless? Yeah. Like, all you needed was me to cut through an Untrium, and that means that in order to get to Vector Sigma, a key was never needed, so right. that's why all of you are here, and you don't need 9 of 12, because you're incomplete, but you don't need him, so you guys are the useless ones.
Turns out, yes, they go against their own religious beliefs.
That's pretty heavy.
It's so heavy, and he seals it beautifully by bowing to them and saying, all hail the useless ones. And I was like, oh, that's fucking dope. Well done, Rung. I love
That's a heavy mic drop.
Oh, it's the heaviest.
Spikes it like a football.
In your fucking face, counselors. I do love the panel right before that. Ratchet, who of course has taken the gun away from Rung's head now. He's got this smirk. Look at him. Look how sassy he is in that panel. He looks great. I like it, Ratchet.
He's like, maybe this Rung, maybe I can get into this.
Like,
you know what?
I like Rung with an edge. He's into this. This is nice. But yeah, so then they hop and they're like, okay, where are we going? Zaptica, which is the name of the refugee city.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, let's go right there. And Rung's like, because they're about to like take another matter transporter. And Rung's like, hold on, I'm not done being bomb as fuck yet.
I got some more cool shit to do.
I got a lot of ideas.
Got a revolution to lead, chaps.
That's right.
And so we go to Adaptica, where our good buddy Megatron is handling shit.
Yes, he is where we left him. He is kind of just directing everybody else. He's directing this this pushback, this response
right.
to because of course Luna 2 has been adapted to attack, and it is
right.
attacking
it's about
Adaptica
to crash
right
in.
Now.
And
yes,
and as we can remember, there's basically no weapons here. He is working A to evacuate as many people as possible, and B launch any kind of resistance that he can, which is very tough to do.
Absolutely right, because they don't really have. He's fucking Megatron, you guys. But yeah, they don't have weapons. They don't have anything like that. And yes, Luna 2 has like a tractor beam, like it's pulling
right.
them in too. So he's trying to get flyers up there to at least take out the beams, and everybody else just get out of the city so they don't get taken by this weaponized moon. And yeah, so he's kind of at the helm here, just guiding everybody else, telling everybody where to go, and you know, doing what he does. He's very good at what he does. He's been doing this for a little while.
And then we see, this is Roller, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Roller is saying like, hey, you're really good at all of this. You remind me of somebody.
Yeah, I think you know him. His name's Orion Pax. Which, P.S., before we get into that thought space there, just the champagne flutes, like, next to Roller in this panel. I love this because, like, if you think about it, I feel like most people would be like, this is completely unnecessary. But if this was my situation room, there would absolutely be trays of champagne glasses. So I'm like, I think this is very funny. And for me, I think it's because I would do it that I'm like, this is ridiculous. Why are champagne glasses here? Because that is certainly a choice I would have made. And I know they're all kind of like hanging out earlier,
but
it is
like
funny that, yeah. So I do think it's just left behind from everybody hanging out, but it's funny that they're there. But yeah, so Roller mentions that Megatron he reminds him of Orion Pax in this moment, and it's very cute. Because Megatron immediately is like, Orion, Optimus, yeah, I know that guy. We know each other quite well, and it's so sweet because Roller's like, oh, I wasn't trying to insult you. He's like, and then Megatron says he knows it isn't an insult, it's the highest compliment, which,
he respects that guy.
Yeah, I like it. I would love to see what Optimus would do if somebody said that they reminded him of Megatron. I would be genuinely, I'm genuinely curious to know how that would go. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. And Roller says, well, do you think there's an Optimus here? And this is a question we have brought up before, like, oh shit, there's got to be another Optimus. And Megatron just like lays it out, like, so here's what I think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, the Senate kept expanding the Primal Vanguard, so he probably was conscripted to a command post. And if that was the case, he would have fallen in with the AVL and would have turned the AVL into something instead of the mass like cluster that it is right now. And that means Optimus is either dead or waylaid.
Right. If he is here, if he's alive, he's not anywhere near here. Otherwise, this place would be running very, very well, or at least much better than it is currently.
And he even says here that, you know, he's been trying the personal frequency.
Yeah, Roller's been trying to call him. Aww. It's really cute. He's gonna, oh yeah, he's not picking up his phone, so I guess you're right. And then Terminus busts in. He's like, okay, final phase is coming up.
Like, what is the final phase?
Yeah, what is
the final phase? Is they just start destroying everything.
Yeah. Now they're just breaking down the buildings and all the things that they're pulling up toward Luna 2. So Megatron gets Anode on the red phone, and he's like, where are we at with the refugees? And she says that they are all clear of the city, at least the ones that they could save.
Right. And so he's saying, well, it's time to evacuate the building, get everybody outside the city, and we'll try and do something then.
Right. We just got to get out at this point. That's the main goal here.
Live to fight another day.
That's right.
Just like Swervin' 10.
Yay! Look who's back. It was funny when I got to this panel, it like took me a second to be like, because for a second I was like, God, where have you? Oh, right. That's why I'm like, where have you guys been? In another dimension.
And good old Brainstorm is like, hey, I got him back. Check it out. Yeah. That's what you get for doubting me. And Cyclonus very sweetly is like, I never doubted you. I thought you would get him back the whole time. I support you and I brought you the wand because I knew you'd be able to do it. That's so nice. I'm not used to that confidence. Thank you.
It's so sweet. Cyclonus, you are a prince. Brainstorm, I'm sorry, Pumpkin. Like, I'm sorry that you have a dumb captain who doesn't encourage you, but I'm glad that now you have a prince here, a stand-in captain who does encourage you.
Well, to stand by your side.
And then Cyclonus just keeps getting even better, because he goes to check on Ten, and he, of course, Ten can only say his own name, like a Pokemon. And he does kind of that, like, fist against his chest thing, like, loud and proud, nice and loud. Great. Good man. Yeah. Well done. And I'm like,
get it out there. 10. There you go.
That's it. There he is. There's my boy. And then he kneels down next to Swerve. And, Swerve is, he's kind
he's
of
like
in a bit
a Slav
of
a squat. I love it. Yeah.
But he's in a bit of a, his body and mind are kind of catching up with this hopping between whatever they've, you know, just been pulled from. And he wants to know, of course, where Killmaster is, because that's the last he knew. But Brainstorm says that he didn't bother bringing him back. He just says he's left him behind, which, of course, begs the question, where is that? Like, what?
Right.
What is all this still?
And Brainstorm was like, I will figure that part out later.
Working on it. Just give me a moment. And then the best... The best entrance. Just an oi oi helicopter in the house, and here comes Whirl.
What a good character who's always the best and never bad ever.
Never done anything wrong in his entire career.
He's like, oh hey, we got him back. Good job.
Well done, us. It's God. And of course, like it's so hard to like when you're reading these, you can read and appreciate the jokes in there. But yeah, so I'll just say I love the whole mono and stereo bit, and the fact that he just calls out like, Swerve, guess what, when you try to take apart jokes, you ruin them. Congratulations. Anyway,
keep up, buddy.
Yeah, come on, man, just roll with me here. And then we have Tailgate, who very cutely holds onto Cyclonus's arm, and then you have Nell, who's reading this and going, I kind of want you to get away with it from him though. I kind of want you to back up. I kind of don't want you near him right now.
It's super uncomfy.
I know. Oh gosh, well done, James, on taking the tiniest, cutest bot we had here, making me be like, Cyclonus, you stay away from him, babe. Come over here. Cyclonus, step back.
Yeah. And Cyclonus's face is still kind of shredded, so.
Yep. He's still a little busted.
But Brainstorm is saying, like, so this Killmaster guy, I know you're really close to him, Whirl.
He's like, your bestie.
Okay, well, come on. he's like, no, he's really good at basically things that can switch the places of other things.
Yeah.
And Whirl says, yeah, he was really good at that. He was master of that as well as killing.
he had a few hobbies, a few interests, a few areas of interest. I do want to point out, and I thought this was an interesting little fun fact, the geobomb that was used to fuck all this up was based on the design of Killmaster's work here. They mention it in, I think it's More Than Meets the Eye 46, with the scavengers bring it up with poor Max.
How about that?
Yeah, Max is like, oh no, that's what they based it off of. So there you go. Funny that. Guess what predicament we're in right now? A geobomb just messed everything up.
Those are the exact kinds of hot facts you listen to this show for.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't have picked that up otherwise. And Brainstorm is saying, so this wand is a teleport gun, which means we can do whatever. And oh, hey, I just figured out something really cool.
Yeah.
And Cyclonus says, what? And he's like, let's just call today Brainstorm Day.
Everybody's just going to remember forever. Today is Brainstorm Day. You got something good.
And so we go back to Rung and Nightbeat.
Yeah.
Nightbeat is trying to ask some basic questions just to get Rung to talk.
Yeah.
Rung has his glasses off and he looks super hot.
Of course.
And he's saying, did you always want to be a psychiatrist? And he's like, well, no. I mean, I don't remember what I wanted to be in the beginning. And
right. He's saying always suggests that, oh, ever since he can remember coming online, like this is what he's wanted. But he says he doesn't remember his own beginning, which is very interesting.
And he mentions information creep is he says that's the culprit, and he says, you know, it muddies the brain. And we've heard information creep before. It's come up as excuses as why, like, people can't remember Primus and stuff like that.
Sure, like just over time naturally information and whatnot breaks down, or it muddies, like you said, but yeah, essentially the inner workings of their minds, you know, being technological in nature, robotic in nature, what have you. It can't be completely trusted after so much time. Eventually things start meshing together and kind of becoming a little less clear. So that's
some corrupted data.
Yeah.
And so he says, but no, I don't think I always wanted to be a psychiatrist. I think I used to make things. I think I used to make these. And he holds his hand out and Nightbeat is looking at it, and it is not framed in such a way that we can see what it is, but we just might find out by the end of this issue.
I got to that. I was like, oh God, please let us know what that is before.
Yeah,
we are not even that far into the book
yet. Like, man, this is page like 11.
Yeah.
I really want to know.
I hope we get some conclusion here. We do. Because then we hop back over to Cybertron and we can see Rung's plan. This guy's so great. His plan was to steal the cog. So they basically stole the council's car and were like, good luck catching up to us now.
Peace. And look how happy Mac tonight is.
Oh my goodness. Clicker, he's so excited.
He can't believe how cool this is.
Oh, because he's been a rebel for a while. He's never been a rebel that's this cool. Like, he is finally tasting what it's like to be, like, really cool. Stealing ships and whatnot. He's very excited about it.
He gets to hang out with the head of the rebellion. And
yeah. He got to meet his hero today. Now they've stolen a ship. This is like, Brainstorm Day is a great day for Clicker.
He'll never forget his first Brainstorm Day. And so we get a little bit of cleaning things up. Is like, Drift is like, hey, there's probably other guys on this ship, right? We got to kill them. And we see a whole bunch of dead Judge Dredd guards up in the front there, or maybe knocked out, maybe not dead.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
incapacitated.
Yes. A very good way to put it. And he's saying, how long till we reach Adaptica? And Rod is saying, like, not very long, because Magnetron knows we're on the way. And so you start telling us everything.
Yeah.
He's talking to Rung here, and Rung is like, well, what do you mean? He's like, just everything.
Start from,
give us everything that could possibly be relevant. And Rung says, okay, well,
I had breakfast on Thursday. It was yogurt and oats.
It was 6 or 7 million years ago in the Pious Pools, and
yeah, that's where it all started.
In the beginning, there was Primus. And
But he's saying that last year, the council accidentally figured out what he was for.
Right.
And we kind of got a hint of this earlier. Like, this was kind of touched on earlier in, I can't remember now which issue it was, but many, many issues ago, back in More Than Meets the Eye, we had kind of a look at this moment, or the what happened after this moment. So he's saying that one of the janitorial staff, whose name was Sweep, was cleaning the chamber where they were keeping him, and he calls them deposits, things that Rung made,
right,
without meaning to necessarily.
I like that their plan was just, well, we'll just torture him until we figure out what to do,
right? These dudes are messed up, so it might also just be them being like, we don't like that guy, let's just take out our frustrations on him. But also,
sure do, and they torture him so hard he poops out a crystal.
And luckily then we cut back to Necroworld, where we can see our Rung, and he's holding a crystal that Nightbeat is now looking at with his little magnifying glass, and it's a photonic crystal. So
yes, that are, and he's saying they were manufactured. I thought Nova Prime had factories where we made
these were made.
And Rung is saying, well, I thought that too until just today.
So our Rung, this is very new, which if we think back to issue one, I believe, of Lost Light, when he does learn about Skids, he kind of looked like he was about to vomit.
Right.
And now we can guess that,
when under some extreme physical duress, or
right, he was under such stress, such upset, that was what happened. Which is, sidebar, super heartbreaking that, like, losing Skids was on par with being tortured by the council. Yikes. I feel you, Rung. So he has this little crystal that he's showing Nightbeat, and then we go to Alt Rung back in the cog with everybody, and he can just make them now. He's gotten very good at it. He just produces one right there.
More importantly, he explains what they are, which is that they hold spark energy, and they're necessary for cold construction. And so that is, and he's explaining, you know, they need spark energy or else they're useless. Mm-hmm. But you need them imbued with spark energy to imbue a body with life. And Drift says, hey, wait a minute. Ratchet, can I talk to you about, do you remember a couple issues ago when I had a vision and there were all these crystals raining everywhere? And visions in these comics then do happen?
Do you remember, Ratchet? Do you? And Ratchet's probably like the rest of us, like, oh, God, vaguely.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that there was a vision.
There was certainly a vision. But so there we go. Now we do have a little bit more clarity in what Drift was seeing. He was apparently seeing rain, but it wasn't, he knew it wasn't rain at the time, but he didn't know what it was. So now that he's seen this crystal, he's saying, oh, I was seeing photonic crystals falling from the sky in this vision that he had. And that's kind of a little sidebar, and like just something to kind of remind us, like, oh, right, Drift had something happen that, like, we should at least be keeping on the back burner. Like, keep that in mind, everybody. So they need these photonic crystals to hold spark energy, and because of course when a transformer is a baby, and we learned a little bit more about this even in just these more recent issues
in Lost Light,
there's the spark and
Sentio Metallica.
That's it. Yeah, baby metal. And it kind of forms together. And that was where we learned about Anode and how she helps babies find their form. But, of course, with cold construction, they build the bodies and then they put the sparks in those bodies. So we know now that, yes, the crystals are used for those pre-made bodies.
When they found out that that's what he was for, that this was his purpose, he was like, oh,
blasphemy.
Shit. Yeah, not only am I, like, this is worse than being useless. This is an affront to the will of Primus, he's saying. He's like, well, then fine, kill me. And they're like, no, because they think that they can use him to their advantage in making these crystals.
Right. So that was then their plan afterwards, was that, okay, we're not going to kill this guy, which we do know. And this is the moment that we saw back in More Than Meets the Eye, was that kind of ending, with Rung looking very almost defiant and saying, go ahead and go on, squeeze the trigger. Right. And we know he really was just like, no, I was over it. He was ready to just
super duper want to
be killed. Yeah. Yeah. Like that's, it wasn't him like trying to play a hunch or anything. He was just, and he does say here, he says that if they had done that, not only would his torture be over, but also the AVL would have had kind of a spur of.
Right. The motivation to overthrow.
Yes. Yes. Because he would have been a martyr. But yes, instead, of course, they kept him alive. And Chromedom at this point brings up the question. He's like, wait, they've known for a year. Why now? Why is it just now that, like, you have been brought out publicly? And this is where then Rung explains that they had to figure out how they were going to frame this, basically, because the council always condemned cold construction.
Right.
But now that they were being proven that Primus created a robot or what have you, Primus created a Cybertronian. Whose purpose was to help essentially, along yeah. whole construction. It was like, oh shit. So right, we've they been can't, wrong this whole time. We're exactly. going to look like idiots.
They can't admit that that was something. They can't admit that Primus allowed for cold construction, so they can't go public with his alt mode.
Right.
And so they all get together and say that 6 of 12 says that he's proof that Primus endorses the cold construction process. So instead what they do is they try and make him a thing that can get them into Vector Sigma.
Yes. Yeah. So because they say they learned that he mentions here that they to use the photonic crystals he was making, they tried to tap the matrix to get right. the spark energy and it wasn't working. Hint, that shit's fake as hell. So he's saying they were going to resort to Vector Sigma.
Right.
And of course we know that the Senate, before they were murdered by the council, the Senate had sealed off Vector Sigma, and they knew that they could break in.
Right. These crystals are made of the thing that will let them drill through.
Yes.
And he's saying they blackmailed him and said, if you don't make these crystals for us and let us into Vector Sigma, we'll just kill all the refugees forever and ever.
Right. So they didn't have to keep, they were still obviously torturing him, but now he also was being.
Right. He had to do
coerced
it.
Coerced and forced into making the crystals.
And then they just figure out how to make him do it against his will.
Right. He says after some very invasive surgery. So, God, this poor Rung. I'm so sorry. And so he's saying it was the same day that they learned they could activate that Vector Sigma without the key, which of course, again,
right.
renders them all useless.
They are useless.
Yes. They are unnecessary. And so then he's saying that they didn't need blackmail. They didn't need Adaptica. They didn't need 9 of 12. And if they could make him look like this drill, and they fused all the crystals, of course, because we saw that huge crystal that was in that he had in his tank mode. They found a way to pretend that was his purpose and that was going to drill them in, so they could cover up all of the things that they had been so wrong about. They could still continue to lie to the public and make it seem like the council was still on the up and up, and all of these things that they've been saying forever are still true. And that brings us to now.
Right. And Rod asks a very important question, which is why?
Yeah.
What is their end game here?
Which is a very good question.
Yeah, with that we cut to our universe's Rung and Nightbeat, and they're just looking at these seven crystals that Rung has presumably just produced.
And it's a cute like little moment, just because it's
yeah. It's, Nightbeat looks so confused. He's like, buddy, I got nothing on this one.
Yeah, and he's got an arm around Rung, and Rung's kind of holding his opposite arm with his hand, and it's very cute. They both are just kind of looking like it's a very small moment, but I appreciate that panel very, very much.
Then we go to an episode of MASH. And we have
over to MASH.
Yeah, we have Anode rushing into the surgery room. Velocity is saying, put on a mask.
Put on a mask and get out of here.
Yeah, performing surgery on Fangry, who just got beat to shit by Tailgate.
Yes. Which there's some good snarking in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're working on Fangry. They're trying to help him out. And of course, it's Velocity and Kaput. And Fangry's saying he wasn't... Rapid Fire is like, he got beat up by that little teeny tiny one. Fangry's like, he wasn't that little. Totally was. Come on,
he's
Fangry.
A teensy boy. He's a certified teensy boy.
He has been a teensy boy from the beginning, Fangry. You're not getting out of this one.
Fangry, sorry to have to tell you, the man invented the Teensy Boy Society.
Look at this pamphlet, Fangry. You will see Tailgate's picture, first page.
Right there, that smiling mug welcoming you to Teensy Boy Academy.
There's no two ways around it. So while they're fighting about how big Tailgate is, Anode is like, I can't find Lug. She's right. been looking all over for her. And we'll remember with those two, they had been at the memorial wall.
Yes.
And they had like this really big talk about what they mean to each other and why Anode did the things that she did and how she was always going to come back to Lug. Like, Lug is so important to her. And then when she looked up, Lug was gone. So now she's like, oh my God, how does she keep getting away from me? And right. she's looking for her. And so now she's like, you guys, I'm sorry about Fangry and your tiny surgery, but do you know where Lug is?
And they say, who's Lug?
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, Lug, red, cute, my girlfriend. And like,
you know,
I don't...
that one. And yeah. they're like, I don't. Which,
Lug?
Yeah. All of a sudden you're like, hold up.
Because do you mean Slug? He's a McAdams.
Slug is, I mean, almost guaranteed that dude is wasted at McAdams if you're looking for. And she's like, I ain't never heard of Slug.
No. He's a dinosaur. This is a backpack. Keep up.
Come on. Two different things. Yes, there are dinosaur backpacks. That's not what I'm talking about here.
Obviously, that's adorable, but this Lug is adorable too.
In a different way, her own way. And she's saying, look, Velocity, you're messing with me. When I woke up and you came in, you burst in, you got all up in my face, and Kaput was here and Lug was here, and then you showed up, you met her. And Kaput's like, okay, hold on, hold up. The only person that was in the room with me was you. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, shit.
Let's go back to Luna 2, sucking up a whole city.
There it goes. Look at that moon go.
Yeah, it's going to get intense because Tesserus is his name?
Terminus.
Terminus, yes, sorry.
Tesserus has been murdered already by Megatron himself. He made some bad choices.
Basically the same guy. Terminus is saying, like, hey, I really need to talk to you. And Megatron is like, we need to
right
evacuate
now?
Or die.
Yeah, this is all coming down right now, babe.
And he's like,
can it
isn't,
wait?
That's what it's about, though. Like,
yeah.
Don't run. Like, we need to help these people. Like,
yeah, he's kind of like, he's asking Megatron, like, what is your end game here? You know,
right.
Rod is asking about the council, and here Terminus is asking Megatron, you know, if we make it out of this, like, the council's just going to come back. Like, even if we save all these refugees now, it's not going to matter, because after we leave, the council comes back.
And yeah, he's saying, stay, let the others have this quest. And
yeah.
Megatron is saying, like, absolutely not. He's saying, stay behind with me and lead. And he's essentially saying, like, do the Decepticon thing the way that it should be done.
It's a really good argument. Like, it's an argument I honestly hadn't even thought of.
Yeah.
That, like, yeah, if Megatron stayed here and fought in this world, he could do it differently this time. Like, and that is essentially the option he's being given here.
And Megatron is saying, like, I committed a huge amount of genocide and atrocities, and I need to be judged for that. And he's saying, like, okay, what's going to be more important, if you get judged and killed or imprisoned forever, or if you actually help people who are dying right now?
Yeah.
I'll let you have this panel.
Well, because Megatron's like, he's saying that he's put himself first too long. Like, he can't. And and Terminus wants him to realize, like, in the universe where they came from, people just want to see Megatron punished. But in this universe, they just need him. Like, they just, that won't be the case here. These people will need his help. He's obviously been very helpful to this point. And Megatron, and I felt so bad for him this entire time. And then he just started really laying it on. And he's, you know, because of course he's resisting this option that Terminus is giving him. And he says, And part of that is the others that he would be leaving, that he wouldn't have anymore. And he says, Rodimus, Minimus, and don't think I don't see them bold italics, everybody. Look at it.
He clearly his favorite person.
His favorite person. And he says that they wouldn't understand. And Terminus, you guys, Terminus says, of all the reasons to leave, that is the dumbest one. Like, you, Rodimus and Minimus being the reasons to not leave, and he says, you aren't, he tells Megatron, you're not accountable to them, you're accountable to your conscience. And then Megatron drops the fucking bomb and says, they are my conscience. And I just, like, left the room. I just spun away from my chair and was like, you guys, listen. Okay, listen. I just, this is so good, and there's no way. Like, I just feel like James has to know exactly what he's doing. He listens to the show. I see you. I see what you're doing. Thank you. And also, I am terrified to see how this all plays out. Thank you so much, everybody. But after
they
that
do
very
not, yes, they do not have
moment,
the luxury of digesting the moment and leaving the room, because the whole statue that they are inside of is getting sucked up into Luna 2.
Yeah. Yikes. It's
and
been
yeah, we get some
completely
full
uprooted.
On, some Michael Bay action movie happening here.
Here's the glimpse of it for everybody. We can see those champagne flutes just flying right out the window. And Megatron is still trying to get them out. He's shouting at Terminus to move and to get out. And Megatron's able to grab on to some piece of
yeah. Hats off to Jack Lawrence, who must have had a real time drawing all this debris.
Oh, geez. No kidding. Thank you, Jack. But yeah, yeah, so very action-packed. And that's where we leave it there. Of course, we don't see Terminus grab anything, which doesn't look good.
Yeah, don't bode well.
If you
well.
Ask me. Nope.
But we cut back to everyone watching the monitor on the Necro world, and even good old Nautica is looking at the screen saying,
yeah,
like,
Nautica's
look right
like,
here, Anna, that's you waking up in the basement and you're just talking to yourself and there's nobody else
there's
there.
No second person.
And she's saying, like, but I've been talking to Lug this whole time.
Yeah.
And Velocity is saying, like, look, we purposefully didn't really define time sickness.
That's right, because of course they had mentioned before time sickness was a thing, and like that was what they were trying to just make sure nobody had, or like stave it off or whatever. And so she's, and even then it was kind of this vague concept, like you said, they didn't really, there wasn't any hard like, oh, this is what's going to happen if you have time sickness. That she's saying it could be mood swings, feelings of dislocation, feelings of disorientation, and hallucinations.
It's difficult for me as a Magic the Gathering player, ex-player, I guess, because there's a concept called summoning sickness. And every time I think about it, I'm like, oh, she has summoning sickness. But she gets the idea, oh, I'll check the monument. Our names will be on the monument.
Yeah.
And they go, and she checks, and she is, and Lug isn't.
Yes.
And
Anode is on there, Lug is not.
So even more sad, or maybe just as sad, I don't know, even more sad than the concept of Lug having just been a hallucination this whole time, is that the Necrobot came to save Anode and not Lug. That's rough. But also probably means Lug might still be alive.
Right. Because that's where, like, and that was where then I feel like there are two possible schools of thought here. First of all, yes, this is just heartbreaking. What a sad little panel for our girl Anode here. But because that was where my mind went then. So did Lug never exist? But then her wording here, you know what I mean? It's like, did she manufacture the entire idea of Lug all of a sudden? Or, like you said, was Lug also there, but she did not make it out?
So who knows? Keep that plate spinning.
Which I guess at this point, what they should do, my suggestion, my advice here, go look for her platform. Go look for her statue.
If
one of
those
boys
statue,
know how to
then
hack in. I forget which one figured it out. I think it was Nightbeat.
That sounds
smart. He knows what to do.
He's a smart boy.
He really is. I mean, he's dealing with a thing right now. Give him and Rung a minute, but then go and like get at him and be like, hey, can you hack into those statues and see if Lug exists, please?
Yeah, like, hey, I know you're kind of busy. I really need a help here.
Just quickly, thank you.
We go to the cog. We see our cool, strong militia leader, Rung.
Look at him.
He's got his arms behind his back. He's the very model of a modern Major General.
I love it.
And he's saying, you know, they decided their function is functionism. And so, speaking specifically about the council, saying, like, they realize they can't be functionless, so their mm-hmm. function is to enforce functionism.
They play fast and loose with rules over in the functionist council, don't they?
Right. And he's saying, so then their concept after that is to use this cold construction to build a huge army mm-hmm. and spread the functionist gospel, that everyone must have a function that serves Primus.
Yes. So that, we realize now, is the idea. Build the cold constructed army and push this idea of functionism across the galaxy. And he's saying that's why Luna 2 was turned into the Harvester, was so that it could essentially eat planets Unicron style and create the materials necessary to sustain
a cold constructed army. Yeah, right. They need to build these bodies. That's got to come from somewhere.
Which is... It's so interesting here. We get this in these next two panels, because then, which, first of all, look at these next two panels. You guys.
We go to Chrome Dome wearing his boyfriend like a sweater in the 80s.
That's exactly it. Oh my God, it's so precious. He's just sitting on the ground, rewinds behind him, arms around his neck. And I love it, because it's just how they happen to be sitting. Like, it's not, like, they're just chatting with Rung. Rung is saying that if you don't perform a function that directly benefits Primus, you are without purpose, and therefore you are expendable. To which, of course, Rewind's like, but then nobody besides Cybertronians perform functions that benefit Primus. And Rung's like, exactly.
He's like, yeah, dog, that's the point. They're going to kill everybody forever.
Yeah, and then they get even cuter. And the next one, our sweet married couple, and Rewind.
They're cuddling.
It's so cute. He's got his head against Chrome Dome's. And I'm glad that, of course, it's Rewind being the one to discuss all of this. He's saying that, like, if it isn't the Decepticons, it's the Functionists. Whatever happens, this ends up spreading. Whatever happens, the things that they do on Cybertron end up spreading. So, because really, like, the entire reason that this universe exists was because Rewind tried to prevent, like, Rewind preventing Megatron from ever being created this Functionist universe. Other people from having to suffer at the hands of the Decepticons, but now they're just going to have to suffer at the hands of the Functionists. So there's really just no winning, so you might as well have Megatron.
It seems like galaxy-wide genocide is inevitable.
It's just what the Cybertronians do, I guess.
It's weird.
They're just awful.
What a bunch of buttholes. And so... Alt Rung is like, don't worry, I have a plan. We're going to Ocean's 11, crash the cog into... Not even Ocean's 11.
I was like, what the hell Ocean's 11 did you watch? I want to see that version of it.
I don't know why I went there. But he's like, I got a plan.
It's a little bit Independence Day.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. We're going to crash the cog into Luna 2 in a specific place, and it's going to create a chain reaction, and we can all jump out at the last minute, and it's going to be super action movie.
And then bzz.
He's like, hey, sorry, I have a call. I have to take 1 minute.
Just real quick. Just give me a chance.
Yeah, Rod gets a buzz.
He gets a buzz. And it's Brainstorm. And it's so cute because he says, cheer me up, Brainstorm. It's one of those years. And Brainstorm does. He says seven words. He knows how to get them home. And I love it. It's a cute reverse from the beginning of this. Yeah.
It cuts to Brainstorm leaning over and, like, holding his hand over the mic and turning his head and goes, he's squealing.
And you can tell he's smiling. Brainstorm, you're so cute. I'm so glad that you didn't end up being just the fucking worst. We had a scare there for a moment. I'm so glad you're still with us. So yes, Rod, of course, is very excited. And he wants to know how. And he, of course, Brainstorm is talking about Killmaster's wand. And he's saying that, like, they didn't know, like, they just thought it was sending people far away. And he's like, it does. But it turns out it's sending people to their proper universe. Like, it can link them back to where they should be. And of course, as sometimes happens, he's saying the wand has been supercharged by temporal energy. So this whole geobomb jumping phenomena.
Quantum engines.
Yeah, all that biz. All of that just means that this wand is supercharged right now. It's like the Umber Staff, and it's just eating those cubes, and it's super, supercharged. And thanks for the two people who get that reference. And he's saying that there's enough juice to get them to zap the entirety of Necroworld and get it back where it should be.
Rod, rightly so, is like, what's the catch? And he's like, no, just like, get back here before this thing runs out of juice, my dude.
Mm-hmm.
Find a long range teleporter.
So then, of course, Rod quickly hangs up because, oh, wait, shoot, we're about to lose that thing that we need.
Alt-Rung is saying, like, today we cancel the apocalypse. He's like, yes, yes, that's all well and fine. Can we borrow this car real quick?
Yeah, maybe we don't. Maybe we hold off. Maybe we let the apocalypse go a little bit.
Right. Push it back a bit and then we can cancel it.
We got to get to Luna 2. That's where the teleporter lives. And of course, Alt-Rung is like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you the keys and let you drive this over to Luna 2. Not unless you're crashing it into it, young man.
Yeah, he's like, you're a very responsible driver, and I just can't abide that. Unless you're going to do something highly irresponsible and dangerous and downright heroic, then you're going to have to fight me.
Gonna have to go through me. And then it's the end of Rocky, and Eye of the Tiger starts playing as these two put up their dukes. Which, even looking at these two, Rod doesn't often look large. Like, he doesn't often look like a very big bot.
It's definitely a different weight class.
Yeah, not on the same scale here, my boys, my sweet boys. So that's what we have to look forward to next time. And it's called Parting Shots. And hopefully we don't have to wait a month and a half for it. But who knows? We'll find out.
I'm super excited to see Rung punch Rod.
Right? That's what I thought, like, seeing this. I was like, you know what? It does look immediately that, like, Rod's got the upper hand here. But Alt-Rung has seen so much shit that I'm like, I feel like that dude is going to just, like, haul ass and, like, give it to Rod.
He's a tough cookie. Who knows?
Hell yeah. Look at him.
He could throw super hard.
I'd put some money on Clown Baby here. I think he could. I think he could surprise us yet. I'm excited to at least see a little bit of this fight before somebody intelligently is like, hold on, maybe don't do that. Maybe both of you stop right now. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm very worried about the next issue.
I am also substantially worried about the next issue. Fingers crossed. I did see on Twitter James said 5, 6, and 7 are very much sweeps week for this season of...
And everybody had a good laugh at sweeps, and everybody was being real clever. Way to go, guys. So it's like the first six, but then it seems like, oh, 7 is yes. Then I don't know if it's going to just be like the cleanup into the next one, if it will be, you know, our transition or what, but we'll find out. I'm super nervous. I'm afraid Megatron's going to make some decisions that will break my heart. But we'll find out.
We shall see. So tune in next time, everybody. I want to thank our patrons who stick with us and our lovely members of the Lost Light, presumably kicking it, just chilling it up there, waiting for everybody. Like, where? I haven't seen those guys in forever.
Right.
They don't even know
that, like, the Rod Squad isn't there. Like,
right. They haven't heard,
like,
the word
just
mutiny.
Chilling. Yes.
And of course, I speak of David Cabrera, Jay Riley, Samuel Jocks, Jacob Stevens of Fifth Virtuoso, Kyle Schaefer, Biddy Bot Jazz, and Elizabeth Jackalope. Thank you guys so much. And don't associate with Getaway too much. I don't trust them.
Listen, just be wary.
Just
vigilant.
Keep an eye out.
You know, just watch your back. If somebody has a little tiny gun, they might be trying to nudge you. Just be aware of it.
And if you also want to be aware of Getaway, go to patreon.com/soundwav. We'll keep an eye out for you.
Oh, yeah. We're watching out. Promise.
I think that's going to do it for us this week.
Mm-hmm. Well done, everybody. Handshakes all around.
I'm proud of you guys. We'll catch you next time. Till then, Transforminauts, it's time. Get in the car. No, you can't drive.
No, come on. You only have learner's permits.
You only have learner's permits.
Listen, you brake every time you start driving, which is adorable, and we'll get past it, but we gotta go fast.
Look, we're gonna be late to the dentist, and you know they charge us extra.